Praise God. I want to welcome everybody here this evening. Welcome those of you that's watching the live stream with us this evening. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in to the Word of God. First of all, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. The fifth chapter. Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. And I ministered along these lines a few years back. And of course, I've touched on different parts of this message from time to time. But my subject tonight is staying focused. Staying focused or stay focused. Brother Tony ministered to us last Wednesday night, and it was excellent. Thank you for that word, brother. Amen. And he ministered on hitting the target. And of course, if you're gonna hit your target, you gotta aim high. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And we got to keep our eyes on him and aim high. And so, which means then that you're going to have to be focused. You're going to have to be focused. Usually, folk that hunt or whatever, most of them, a good number of them, have what do you call those things? The glasses, scope. Thank you. Have the scope on their rifle to help them focus. Now I'm not a hunter myself. Never have been, but my dad was, and of course, if you're going to catch anything, gets. If you're gonna eat, you better be focused. Amen. Hallelujah. You better be focused. But let's jump right into this. And will you do something for me tonight? And maybe you've already. I really believe that you've already made this commitment. Maybe most of you. But you know that there are things that tries to distract us, get us off course. But I want you to make this commitment, if you haven't already, that you are going to stay focused. You're going to stay focused. And your focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his word. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? Praise the name of the Lord. But before I go any further, let's read in the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. I want to read beginning at the 32nd verse. And listen to what it says here. It says, therefore, verse 32, therefore you shall be careful. You see that? You shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You, listen to this. you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Still with me. Verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. Why, Lord? That you may live. And that it may be well with you. And that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Hallelujah. Hope y'all don't mind. I believe I want to read these two verses again. Listen. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. In other words, watch out for distractions. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. You know, I've heard people complain about, well, you know, the Lord just don't want me to have any fun. You know, the Lord just don't want me to have any fun. I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to go here and I want to go there. And you already know you shouldn't be going here and you shouldn't be going there and you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that because it is wrong. It goes crosswise. It goes in opposition to what the Word of God says, but it feels good, it looks good, it smells good, or whatever. But we got to understand that God cares for us. And we got to understand that God always, always, always wants what's best for us. He's a good father. You hear me? He is a good father. Amen. But in order to enjoy the goodness of the Lord, we must learn to live a disciplined life. Just can't let anything go. Just can't do any old thing. Just, well, everybody else is doing it. That's usually the excuse. Kid come to the parent, Mom, Dad, can I go here, there, wherever tonight? Nope, you can't. You don't have any business over there. I don't want you over there. I don't want you doing that. Where everybody else is. Anybody ever got that response from their children? Yeah. But my response is, no, you're wrong there. Not everybody is doing it. Because you're not. Amen. But we have to understand, God has our best interests at heart. So let me go on and read verse 33 once again. It says, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. God wants us to live. God wants us to live a life worth living. God wants us to live a productive life. God wants us to live a victorious life. And that it may be well with you. And that you may prolong your days. You know, bad decisions can shorten your life. You know, I have been to many, 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 many funerals in my life. And I think I've heard some of everything. And I've heard a lot that wasn't true. Some person lost their life because they were somewhere that they had no business being. They was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and it cost them their lives. But too many times at their services, at their funerals, things would be said like, well, you know, it was God's time to pluck him or her. God's calling them home. Now, folks, this might sound a little cruel, but I got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you the truth. Everybody they say is in heaven is not there. Well, they're up there with Jesus now. Well, you know what? If they were born again, they were Jesus. If they were washed in the blood, they were Jesus. But come on, we got to just tell the truth. If they were not born again, they're not with Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll move on. So it goes on to say that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. You know, the word of God says, with long life will he satisfy thee and show thee his salvation. Amen. That's Psalm 91, correct? In Psalm 91. But first part of verse 91 say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. And then it goes on and on and on. When we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, when we are under the shadow of the Almighty, then we can claim that promise. Amen. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. Glory to God. Amen. Y'all still here with me? So let's make a decision that we are going to stay focused. We're going to stay focused. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, the 12th chapter of Hebrews. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, everybody say, let us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What's the next three words in the next verse? Say what? Looking unto Jesus. Listen, we're not supposed to be looking anywhere else. We're not supposed to be looking off to the left or off to the right, but we're supposed to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are to stay focused on Jesus Christ and on his word. Hallelujah. I know we're reading a good bit tonight. That's okay, isn't it? Turn in your Bibles again to the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4. See, here's the thing. Some people are easily distracted. Some more than others. Proverbs chapter 4, drop down to verse 25. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. See that? Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. We are talking about staying focused, right? Amen. Glory to God. Now, guys upstairs, I want to read those three verses from two different versions of the Bible. The first one is the New Living Translation, Proverbs chapter 25, New Living Translation. It says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Hallelujah. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you guys give me the Passion Translation? Do you have it up there? Yay or nay? Okay. All right, verse 25. We're going to read it. Set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of what?
Truth.
And the road will be safe and smooth before you. Hallelujah. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked for even a moment or take the detour that leads to darkness. Glory be to God. See, there's so much going on right now that's crying out for your attention and my attention. But we've got to stay focused. Hallelujah. Now, I want for a little, I don't think I'm going to get through all of them, but I'll go as far as I can tonight. I want to talk about some things that causes us to lose focus. I want to talk about some things that causes us to get off course. Okay? Hallelujah. The first one is the world, or should I say what's going on in the world. Turn in your Bibles to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. Look at verse, let me see where I want to start here. I just want you to stay with me here. Okay, verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to what it says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. Are you ready for this? But he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. We can't get caught up with this world. Because this world is controlled by time. And there's coming a time when this world won't be here. But those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we will. Bless the name of the Lord. Let me read you something here if I can find it. I think I put it in here. This is the Message translation. I'll read it to you. It says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the love of the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, listen to this, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Bless the name of the Lord. I said, bless the name of the Lord. Amen. This stuff here is going to pass away one day. It'll be no more. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to number two. And by the way, before I go to number two, let's look at Jesus. We won't go over there, but remember, Satan offered Jesus the world, didn't he? He offered him the world. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told him, says, if you just bow down and worship me, all of this will be yours. How many of you know that's a distraction? And Jesus didn't fall for it. Hallelujah. And we got to make sure we don't either. All right, number two. The lack of money can cause us to lose our focus. Make a decision right now that you are never going to love money. Now, hear what I'm saying. Don't put words in my mouth. Make a decision that you're never going to love money. Because the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. We need money. Absolutely, we sure do. Amen. We need money. But we can go all the way back to the Ten Commandments. And what did God say? Thou shalt have no other God before me. And in many, many people's lives, their money is their God. Their money is their God, and they'll do anything to get more. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever it takes to get more money. Why? Because they love money. Now, I want you to understand something. Money in itself is not sin. Money is not bad. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm looking at some of you that I can see your feet. And, you know, you folks have on nice shoes. And unless somebody bless you with those shoes, you had to buy them. Didn't you? And if you're going to buy them, it's going to take some what? Money. So money is good, used rightfully. Do you know, if you take a look at money, money is really neutral. You know, you can take a $20 bill or $50 bill, whatever. It's neutral. It's how it's used. Now, those of you that gave in the offering tonight, guess what? You used your money in a good way. Amen? When you took your money and blessed somebody, gave it to someone, or bought someone something, guess what? You use your money in a good way. But you know that same $50 bill that you use to be a blessing to someone else, you know it goes through the banking system, or someone else may get it, from a teller or however they get, and they can take that same $50 and go buy drugs. Now, you used it to be a blessing. They're using it for the wrong reason. But the money itself is neutral. But it's the love of it that gets us in trouble. And God, in his love and in his wisdom, helped us with that problem, or is helping us with that problem, because natural man says, you know, I want all I can get for me. All me. I want all I can get for me. But then God comes along and say, give. Doesn't he? God says, give. Word of God says, and the first time I read that, and I read it, you know, as a young person, and I thought, say what? But when I read it, it's better to give than to receive. Now that goes against worldly logic, don't it? Because when you give, it's leaving. But when you receive, it's coming. But what we don't understand is Jesus said, or the Word of God says, it's better to give than to receive. Because when you give, you're going to receive. When you're blessed, you're going to be blessed back. Jesus himself said, give, and it would be what? Given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God don't hate money. He just don't want you to fall in love with it. He don't want you to make a god out of it. Amen. God don't want you to get to the place where you don't even want to leave and go to heaven because you don't want to leave your money. Money is a tool. Money is a tool. Amen. But here's the thing. Many times, believers, people that love God, they hit a rough place in the road, and they got more bills than they do money. And then the devil began to whisper in their ears, well, you know, this is what you need to do, and this is what, you know, I tell you what, you don't need to give your tithe because you need that money. You need to put that money over here. You need to do this or you need to do that. You see someone drop their wallet. And they walking off, and you behind them, and you drop their wallet, and oh man, you need money so bad. I mean, you got bills that stacked up, and the temptation. Now the devil's talking to you. Say, you know what? There's nobody around. Why don't you just go ahead and get that wallet and stuff it under your coat and go on about your business. No. Say no, Mr. Devil. I don't love money. I'm not a lover of money. I am a user of money. Money is a tool. Money is a tool. And let me say, let me make this very clear. God does not mind you having money. Or else, why would Jesus say it'd be given back to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He don't mind you having money. He just don't want money having you. Can I repeat that? God does not mind you having money. He just don't want money having you. Jesus is Lord, not money. Hallelujah. See, that was the problem with the rich young ruler. He didn't know that Jesus, that God could bless his life far beyond what he was at that time. He didn't know that. But Jesus told him, and here we go again, give. This man was rich. Jesus told him, give it away. Why? Because his money was his God. His money was his Lord. And you can't have two lords. So Jesus told him, go ahead and give it away and get free, and I'll bless you back, and I'll show you how to enjoy true riches. Jesus didn't want to demand poor folks. Jesus didn't want the rich young ruler to give all his money away so he could stand on the street corner and beg. No, he didn't want that. But the point was, he's trying to get over to him that there are things that's more important than your riches. Amen. Praise God. Y'all still with me? But can you see how the lack of money can get you looking to the right, and it can get you looking to the left? In other words, it can cause you to begin to look for other options rather than trusting God and doing what God says do. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how popular this next verse is, but I want to share it with you anyway. Go to 2 Thessalonians. If it's in the Word of God, it should be very popular, isn't that right? Second Thessalonians, I'm trying to get there too. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Did I tell you chapter 3? Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Word of God has answers for whatever we need. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother, notice it says brother, from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us, which was the Word of God. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil, night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority to make ourselves, but to make ourselves an example. Now what he was saying here is, yes, we have a right as ministers to be blessed by you. Amen? But he says, we need to set an example here. You folks need to learn something here. So he says, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Oh boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Glory to God. This is the word of God. We, you know, now I'm talking about those that's supposed to be working. We got folks that's retired, and you know, some folks are unable to work, and there's situations, other situations. But my goodness, if you young and strong and healthy, you should be working. Wow. It's amazing now. The restaurants that still haven't opened up are having to cut their hours simply because they can't find anybody that want to work. Working is a righteous thing. You hear me? Working is a righteous thing. Hallelujah. My mama didn't raise a lazy son. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I'll finish reading this in a moment. When Kathy and I got married, I told her, I says, listen, I really don't want you to have to work. I would prefer you be home with our babies. And for a long time, that's exactly what happened. I worked, and she was home with the babies. And later on, she went to work at the Christian school where we had our children there. Not all of them, because some of them weren't born. I think we had two children, two at that time. And she started working there, and then I think you've been working ever since. And then she came, 89 was it, she came to work with me here. And so we've been working ever since. But thank God that she didn't have to neglect our children. They knew mama was going to be there. Even when she worked in the Christian school, they were right there with her, you know. And that's another whole message I could preach, how children need their parents. Yeah. Too many children are being left to raise themselves. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Too many children are being left to raise themselves, and they're not turning out real good, some of them. Praise God. But I made a decision. I was not going to be a lazy man. Even when we had a financial situation in this church back in the early 90s and just seemed like everything just dried up. I told God, I said, God, you know I'm not a lazy man. And the Spirit of God had spoken to me about going into ministry full time. And I knew it was God. And so I obeyed him in that. But I told him, I said, Lord, you know I'm not a lazy person. You know, I'll go back to work tomorrow. All you got to do is say, son, go. He didn't release me to go, by the way. He didn't release me to go. But here, my point is, I was willing to. I was willing to, because I was going to take care of my family. Glory to God. But God took care of us. God took care of us. Why? Because we were in the right place. Now, don't you fool yourself. Don't fool yourself for one moment. Being a pastor is work. Did y'all hear me? I said being a pastor and doing it the right way is work. Being a pastor's wife is work too, isn't it? I want to tell y'all something. This is one hard-working little woman over there. Y'all hear me? She runs circles around me. I can't even keep up with her. I can't keep up. I'm taller than she is. I have to lean over for the top of my chin, for my chin to reach the top of her head. That's how much taller I am than she is. But get to walking around, you know, I can't keep up with her. Is it in the genes, Wilhelmina? It's just Susie. Hallelujah. She's a hard worker. She's a hard worker. And y'all believe me, she worked. She worked for me. She worked. And I don't have to beg her to, she beat me out of the bed. Most of the time she waking me up. But what a blessing. Amen. You want me to change subject and get off of you? I'm just telling the truth. But it's the truth. But let's get, let's finish this. Wow, I didn't realize the time was flying by the way it is. Amen. So where did I stop at? Verse 10. Okay, verse 10 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if one will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Y'all know anybody like that? Don't call no names. Please don't. "But are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and do what? Do what? Eat their own bread." Is that in your Bible? Eat their own bread. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much more I want to say, but it's about time for us to quit. But watch out for distract. Stay focused. And by the way, you know, if you stay focused and not look to the right nor to the left, God will provide for you everything you need. Doors will open for you. I'm a living testimony of that. And I won't go into it tonight. But there are times when Kathy and I, when I needed a job and I didn't have a job, but I went to God and we trusted God, and doors opened for us. Matter of fact, there was a woman chasing me down. I don't mean literally running after me. I don't mean it that way. But she interviewed me. And she told me that she wasn't sure if there was a job available for me at that particular time, but she would get back with me. And so I went with Brother Paul Lewis the following week and my cousin to tear down a house. I was just helping them tear down a house. And we didn't have cell phones back in those days, but this woman called the house. We did have a house phone. And Kathy was at home, says, I want to speak to your husband. There's a job opening for him. There's a job where he's not here. And how many times she called? You don't remember, but she called because she, and I know this was God. You know why? Because during that interview, she and I sat in her office and talked about Jesus. She was born again. God led me across her path, and she found a job for me. I'm here to tell you, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, He'll open doors for you. There's so much more I can say, but I tell you what, we need to get back to the place where we start trusting God, where we start trusting God to open the right doors for us. He will do it. He is a faithful God. You hear me? He is a faithful God. He will open the right door. He'll even close the wrong doors if we'll trust Him. Father, we thank You. May we stay focused on You. May we stay focused on Your Word. May we continue.